This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
With us today, Helmut Lachenmann. We're going to discuss some of his compositions. The assumption is that you don't know a lot about his music, so we're really going to stick to some very basic ideas about his work, speak about it from a historical standpoint, listening to some works from earlier in his career. And we're going to start it like that. We have a couple of recorded examples for you to listen to as well, and that will kind of make some context and some conversation for us. And we hope to have time also for some questions if that's what you want to do. So Helmut, let's start now. The first work we're going to hear an excerpt from is your piece for percussion and orchestra called Air. And yes. Can you make some comments about this piece for us?
Well, it's clear I understand no one probably one does not know my music here. There are reasons, because performing them is a problem, a structural problem, something for rehearsing. So this is not the point now. But I cannot also make in telegram style a description of my thing. And this meeting for me, I hope there are composers here.
I think so.
Okay, the composer. because meeting among creative people, I think we should not only look at the work of one composer. In this case, it's my music, but I would really would like to have a talk about creative situation, creative process, because we are the most happy people in the world. We can realize our utopies. And, well, it's also difficult because we are in a tradition which is has a challenge, and we are not so free as we think, because the elements which are working with, which I sometimes like to call the aesthetic apparatus, is given to us. I did not invent the violin, I did not invent the piano, I did not invent the notation, I did not invent the temperature. One says temperature. So I am confronted with a lot of elements which are already full of music before I even touch them. So I can realize my utopies, but I have again, at the moment, face all this resistance. I think it's in other arts a little bit the same, but I think in music it's still more hard. As I said, all the elements which are, we meet are already expressive before we do it. Mm-hmm. And then now that this might mean that we have a sort of negative work. We have to empty these elements. I don't know if you speak a little bit German. In Stuttgart, where I'm living, there was, for me, a very great painter, Willy Baumeister. He belonged to this generation with Paul Klee and them. Mm-hmm. And he was a teacher. Teacher means in German, Lehrer. L-E-H-R-E-R. And he said, I'm a teacher, I am a Lehrer, but with L-2-E-R-E-R. And this Lehrer means empty. I'm an empty maker. This was because to find your own creativity, you find your own authenticity, and to be full, not only around me, but also in myself, full with the elements of tradition, which are wonderful, but which also say to us, and you, where is your authenticity? And this means probably first to make empty. After the Second World War, the composers in Europe and also here, but I'm more informed about Europe. For instance, there was Darmstadt and there was Donner Eschingen and this. The people that try to again invent what music could be. So in the ears of a lot of people, it was not music. Big conflicts in society. The performance, we have scandals, and sometimes had to be stopped, also mine, by the way, because people said this is not music. And even some musicians said, if it was for orchestra, why have we to do this? And sometimes I said, yes, wonderful, finally non-music. it's all full with this thing, and now we have a situation, we are all sitting together on the seats, and we are faced with a time which is full from events which now have a sort of you know, law or something, a principle in which now there is a so-called order or a projection of elements, and there is some system. Maybe sometimes I like to speak like Shakespeare in Hamlet. He says there is method in our madness.
Mm-hmm. Method in our madness, yes.
Yeah, you must pronounce it better okay. because I... There's method in our madness, mm-hmm. and so it has to be taken serious. And this is the reason why they are so angry. If they would, it would just be fun or some exotic thing, they would laugh and would be amused. But it is serious. It is art. It's again an answer to the question: what is beauty for us? And so, in this tradition, I'm feeling, and I also had to make in my way empty. Mm-hmm. That means I was studying with Luigi Nono. And Nono was the whole life convinced socialist, communist, a Marxist, with all the crises which belong to that life, because you know what happened in the our earth, is it? And he was an example for me, but an example which I could not imitate. I had to find my own way. Nono was a total punctual composer. So. This was my situation. I felt a little bit even paralyzed when I was studying, and I tried to find my own possibilities. And what I did then, I gave him a name. Maybe I gave him a name to have a short slogan, mm-hmm. but also for myself, because sometimes I was teaching, and then I had to go back on my table to write. So I called it Musique Concrète. Which you know, is music concrete, is the music which is recorded. It was in this 1930 and even 20, 30, 40, there were pieces recorded from Pierre Schaeffer, Pierre Henry, recording steamers, vessel, mm-hmm.
or different concrete
water
sounds.
Drops, or, mm-hmm. or a car, frame, Crimson brakes, and so on. Mm-hmm. All these everyday life's noises, and they were recorded and they were made in montage. I tried to avoid all recorded things because from the coming from a loudspeaker for me was a problem. A loudspeaker, well, this is another issue again. A loudspeaker is not more dangerous.
But I think this connects a little bit with your general feeling about the power of acoustic sound.
Yes,
if you're exactly. in a space actually hearing it versus yes. hearing music that's recorded yes. and played.
Now again, we have to hear from loudspeakers. This
right.
is always a problem. Mm-hmm. It is sort of information, what happened, it is a sort of photography from a thing. Mm-hmm. But tonight, I hope it should be now. Live.
Yes.
And the idea of this music concrete in my to hear the immediate energy when producing a sound. This normally in music is more or less hidden. If the singer is singing, we don't want to know about his problems to intonate, or a flutist may be playing baroque music. They must pure, they must not hear the breath.
The so breath noise.
The breath, but mm-hmm. in a shakuhachi, we hear totally.
Right.
But this is exotic situation. So now I wanted to make a music in which we feel, not we don't hear this, that the C sharp is now consonant in C sharp major or minor, or it is dissonant in C minor or major. But it is a harp, and a harp has and it is in the highest register where the strings are very short, and it is like a little impulse. It's an impulse, mm-hmm. but it has a sort of energy, maybe not very loud, but one hears the intensity if the player makes it with all his strings. So we also dialectic. Sometimes there's a music incredible. Fortissimo, but we don't even hear it because it's like whispering loud. So all this sort of energy was now for me the material. I tried, and the material doesn't, well, in everyday life it works easily. If I hear a car accident, we don't say, this was a nice rhythm or it was a consonant.
Uh-huh.
But we say, what happened? In music, normally we listen to the acoustic results and the relation between. So I have to find out a technique to attire the attentivity on this. So, and though this music concrete, I call it music concrete instrumental in French because it came from France, mm-hmm. or instrumental music concrete. It means now all these accidents or or what happens, not only violence, also the contrary of violence, caressing an object, and we hear this. So all the, for instance, this one piece, the title were like programs, pression, pressure. So I hear the different decrees from the not hearable, if it is done on the bridge, or even on another part of the instrument of a violoncello, or it is a professional philharmonic sound, which all the emphasis and intensity and magic which it has, until to a violence which is distorted. It's like a perforated snoring or something like this. Mm-hmm. Now, the snoring is not more ugly, and they are all now belonging to a context in which they have another function. They are related to each other. And this is meant in that time. Now the first element first example we can hear is from 69, and its title was Air. All these titles, Pressure, or another title was Tem-Ar. Tem-Ar is an inversion from Atem, and Atem means breathe. So this was a piece for voice and flute and the cello. Even the cello can make
a breathing-like sound.
So mm-hmm. A cello can also snore, for instance, yes. Or sleep. So, another piece now is called Air. It is a traditional element in Baroque music. Not only, there's also a piece from Berio, but my piece was earlier. Air,
A-I-R.
Mm-hmm. So, and now this is for orchestra, and again, it was my very first orchestra piece. And so the percussion is the most direct medium to understand the activity which is done, to feel, not only to hear the sounds, to feel them, to the corporal haptic moment. And now, stop. I could speak more about, but maybe we can listen to the beginning, some...
Actually, just before we begin, though, I just wanted to ask one thing about this, the relationship between the percussion and the orchestra. In what we're going to hear now, do we get some idea that, or maybe you could say just something briefly about the relationship between these two things. The orchestra is a kind of amplification of the elements in the percussion?
I think it's better to hear.
Better to hear. Okay. All right, I'll ask my question again then.
Yes, okay. But you can... Now, if you have an experience acoustically, you can better describe it, I think. Mm-hmm. Put it in again a little bit more. That's okay. This was the beginning of a 20-minute piece. And now you see the relation. Mm-hmm. The percussion is not now only percussion. It begins arco. But this is not new. In 1969, it was not also not so new. The only what might be more new was that now these elements were really composed like a, I could say, like a Beethoven theme. I worked with that aspect of this corporal categories, which might be, for instance, again, a little bit among composers, a score normally has at the side, the left side, the instruments, flute, oboe, clarinet, and so on, until percussion and strings, and when I was writing the piece, not in the score, the end, the score must be a normal score, but I wrote at the left side, for instance, perforations. So perforations means, could be a flutter tongue, could be a glissando with a stick along the tubes of a xylorimba, mm-hmm. or could be, it also has its deformations, a perforation if it is a very slow. If I make a glissando slowly, above a piano, mm-hmm. it's not really perforated. It's a, if I would record a perforation and play it slower. And it makes not a
mm-hmm. these little breaks.
And on the other side, it could be a tremolo, or if you go more quick, it could be like a tenuto. So I'd like to have such categories and then to make different degrees, like in serial music, but not now different quantities, but different qualities among such an aspect. Or another aspect might be resonance from the totally dry until the. And now this idea of music concrete, at the end, well, I stopped it when, before it was so called a rattling machine. Mm-hmm. My vibration had a, It's a sort of Steigerung.
How do you call it, Steigerung?
Like in a Bruckner symphony, we have Steigerungs, giving more and more. It's very traditional at the end.
I see.
It's a traditional, and now this Steigerung, the old Tutti name Mark now makes the fortissimo perforation, and now it stopped. It stopped by the percussion soloist, and mm-hmm. And what he stops is he strikes with a very hard stick on the lowest key of a marimba. So it's you cannot even hear exactly the pitch because it is normally I think a soft stick in that mm-hmm. situation. Or the contrary, I take a tam tam and I strike the same marimba at the highest register. So I hear only.
Right.
So again, it's a sort of dialectic. I hear incredible intensity, but the result, the potentiometer doesn't make much movement because it's not loud. And so also the time is now a function, because if I make up, now the silence is another one. If I make a fading out, it going by and by into nothing also. Mm-hmm. So this helped me, but also was important for me, if the left side perforated resonance, maybe element like glissando, or sometimes or a little bit more complex things. For instance, a short attack after another one. Ta-da. Something, mm-hmm. But the thing before is totally another. Maybe it's pianissimo, and the next is fortissimo. So we don't even take into consideration first hand, but it might change, mm-hmm. and so on. But this at the left side, these categories in the piece, they change. This was also important for me because it's like when we work, we go on, but by and by we get hungry. We didn't think about this point aspect of our stomach at the beginning. There is another aspect. Or it gets dark, or it gets whatever. Mm-hmm. So at the end, for instance, this piece, it's a real air. That means now that we should not now listen because we have not so much time. Mm-hmm. It's now a choir of Chinese cymbals, which are played by Arco, and they make a very solennel thing, and soloist is a part of him with instruments which in that time were new. Today everybody used it's a rin, the Japanese temple gongs and such things. I think it was the first in 69
to be using.
Yes, because
these
I had a friend from Illinois, Michael Ranta, and he was a pupil from Harry Parch.
Uh-huh.
And he learned me to build instruments, and he brought me on this aspect of the feeling of the sounds. He was incredible. Now he's selling instruments.
Right. He has an instrument shop, yeah, which is famous. I actually, this was gets into a point I wanted to ask you about in your development. Mm. You must have spent, I'm guessing, quite a lot of time making your own research on how instruments make sounds. Yes, I mean you must have had built up some knowledge about this, so you could then apply it to the practice of composing with these sounds.
Yes, well, I was in 63. I was studying with Nono from 58 to 60, and this was in Venice, and in Venice there was no ensemble. I couldn't hear any note mm-hmm. of my music. It was beautiful. It was so, yes, I never was disturbed by the reality writing things. And in that time, also the pieces, even from Nono, if one looks at his pieces, he has to do with his situation. He made a piece, for instance, 32 human voices, eight soprano, eight and so on, eight mm-hmm. alto, no? And eight cymbals in four tam-tams. So his composition activity was the second tam-tam together with the fourth and the fifth cymbal and the alto voice. Mm-hmm. And the next sound was all the sopranos with the first cymbal alone and so on. This was a game, a combinatory game, very rich. Mm-hmm. And after, maybe he was the first who was shocked by the result. And this is good. He didn't exactly know what comes out, but he had a very, again, there was a method in this organization.
Right.
And so he made a music which was more aggressive than all the composers who immediately had the control and said, I don't like it, or I like it much more. And our liking is so stupid. We should not ask if we like it, if it's logic or it is correct or it has a... And so this was very helpful to have this. But after that, I was working with Stockhausen, and with, there was also Freddy Wierczewski in Cologne, and mm-hmm. so, and I learned a little bit percussion. Okay. And at that time, I made a lot of what we call research. Mm-hmm. I never can play a cello, but I can touch it and see. Mm-hmm. And then this is one thing, and also with other instruments, but then comes the speculation, what happens if? And some of that, well, I could not find out each sound. But what happens if I give all the horns just air, a fortissimo, together with a crescendo of a flageolet? Mm-hmm. Maybe I normally would not think about the flageolet together with such air. So, but so there are a little bit like in Nono's time, combinatorial games, mm-hmm. which elements which I knew now. And so in that, for instance, air was a little bit written this way, and it's clear in the rehearsal then one has to correct because the intensity, I have not a good inner ear, and so sometimes the noises, as soon as there's a normal pitch, the noises get pale, for instance. So yeah. I have to find out. It's a experimental way, and rehearsals, as it should be in my eyes, are a little bit a way of correcting. And I ask the timpano player, please take another brush, it is not sharp enough, mm-hmm. and so on. And I said, for instance, even to a viola player, there was written pianissimo, please make fortissimo. Mm-hmm. What do you want? You wrote for pianissimo. I said, well, I want something extreme, now I try the other one. Yeah. And they have to, they respect it if they see that there's a special idea. This was a mix up, and still again, I like to go to concerts just to hear the material, mm-hmm. and to see. It's also wonderful to see it in a Beethoven or in a Mahler symphony, or in the Paganini caprice, how the sound is used. I wanted only to say in this piece, no, the example was maybe not so most helpful. I used a lot of exotic elements, exotic in sense they were not belonging to our Philharmonic repertoire necessarily. So like the Japanese, it's a misusing. Because the Japanese temple gongs are belonging to a religious ritual.
Right.
And now comes a European, like the Vandals, and they tell you, oh, it's nice to sing. It's a little bit barbarian, but it's an old tradition of a European going on with, touristically with other instruments. The whole orchestra is full of such touristic.
That's true.
Tam is stolen from another culture as a harp, and the oboe is from the Greek, bucolic. It's an
aggregate of
cemetery
of
stolen things, if you think about this.
Right.
And then comes the symphonic music, which gave him another context. But now, again, this was in the 60s, 69, it was written 68, this was the time of students' revolt. And I was already 32 years old, but I was teaching, and my students were sometimes really provocating with it. You also want to make such literary things, and at the end you make exotic amusement, entertainment for people.
They were criticizing you.
Yes, they were criticizing you, all my generation, not only in that. First of all, this bourgeois symphonic music, and now you make such elitaire intellectual music. Mm-hmm. I said, no, there's nothing intellectual. You can hear what you can feel. A scratched instrument has a certain violence, and everybody feels what happens. Maybe he says it's ugly or it's not music, but he sees a context in which has now another quality. And so, and though I insisted that this music is beautiful. And this was a challenge to insist and not to say, well, we are now, the world is so bad, and we have to criticize society. So but this is entertainment. Mm-hmm. So to insist to the idea of beauty is a total other material, and beauty in the sense of transcendent, of a dialectic, that means the sounds are still now very corporal, but they are more than this. They are part of what I call air, they are melody, or they are something intensity, of intensity in the same tradition as I think the classical music should be. Mm-hmm. So I feel very traditional. Mm-hmm. And in this piece, as I said, well, it was I used, for instance, after there are, how it's called, the things when he's sitting on a horse and we gave him a little slap on the...
A whip.
A whip.
Yeah.
Yes. The abysmal. And so on. It's air again. Mm-hmm. And it's percussive and whatever you want. But it's not authentic. It's not musical instruments. They are taken from outside. This was a little bit my problem. I had to do for making the attentivity to that aspect of the corporal intensity. And now, after this piece comes another piece in which I cannot now play, which there are a lot of other such elements. And then I said, I must not always look for this so-called noisy, because it's not so difficult to write for noise, mm-hmm. because they have no tradition to make it sounds nice. It sounds interesting. It sounds, if you want, contemporary, something like this. This is no problem. We can now make a constellation of that things. We can add it with a soundless trombone attack, and we can make some. My whips are broken, so it's even a destructive moment. It's a sort of impulse, and it's whatever. So this is wonderful paradise of innocent noises, which have not so much tradition in our culture. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, but it would be much more interesting to do it now with our real elements of our culture. And the first next step was to write a string quartet. And there is no Japanese temple gongs, there is no whip. Mm-hmm. There is our good old four string instruments. And with the techniques, it's clear. My repertoire of techniques has enlarged, so there are also violins in the sense of pressure. Violence sounds so violent. The sense of more intensity, of even, or even sometimes, almost not hearable, if one moves the bow over the tailpiece, right?
Mm-hmm. Nearly inaudible sound.
Yes, inaudible. That means if we are in a room, we know there is something. We cannot have it easily on a recording. So the microphone goes closer. It's clear. Microphone being that piece is totally another piece. So the string quartet number one was called, it's called Gran Torso, was for me really an adventure. Now to use it with the instrument which everybody loves, Wien, Schumann string quartet, and maybe also Bartok, but also Haydn, and now mm-hmm. they are sitting there. And there again, we shall maybe hear now the beginning. It is a third point on the CD. It begins almost similar to the air which we heard about. Mm-hmm. The next part, which comes now, but it's so loud here because it goes now to it's a tremolo, which is now going so slow that it is
almost disappearing,
almost not more moving. So it's a non-more tremolo, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So, and such things, working with that, what I called not parameter, which the people from it called it parameter. Stockhausen, Polesen, no? I call it categories.
Mm-hmm.
And they always had, for me, had to be changed. Well, I think time goes on so quick. Before we speak more, let's have just a little spot on the third string quartet. Thank you. It's over with this piece. The beginning of the CD.
The first track.
Yes. And I would like to go a little bit ahead. Take so next, after, let's say, 6-7 minutes, because I can only this say before. It's clear, it is a paradise of noises. Still, now it's, they are all now from all traditional instruments. Paradise means somewhere is an apple and is to eat.
Uh-huh.
To a paradise in which we don't look for the apple is boring. Artist must eat him. That means he must go out from him and better understand this situation where he was before. And So it's clear it was both. It was written at the same time almost. It was written in 71, and mm-hmm. the other was in 68. And I saw now this could become a sort of mannerism of noises. It's always, it sounds aggressive, but well, it doesn't want really to be aggressive. It sounds aggressive because it's avoiding our normal categories to hear. And it takes other one, but at the end it is limited, always working with that so-called, what you call extended play techniques. Mm-hmm. And that's it. The problem is not to find such noises or to look and to make experiments. The problem is to find another way of listening, to give the ear another perceptive challenge. Mm-hmm. And if this is true, this also should be possible with a consonance, or with an interval, or with a rhythmical movement, all the things. This means not to go back, but it means with another aspect to look back sometimes.
Yeah. So, well, to take the elements of tradition and make something new from
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I like the title from Morton Feldman. It was a piece, it's called The Viola in My Life. Mm-hmm. So, and the first piece was, in that time of my life, it was a string quartet in my life. Yes.
Right.
And I think each piece of a composer should be the piano in his life, or the symphony orchestra in his life. He must his own instrument, not just to sit in front of a score, of an empty score, like in front of an organ. And now we took the register of an organ. The composer didn't even construct himself. He just used it. This is senseless. He must construct his organ. Mm-hmm. Maybe with the help of an organ existing a little bit, destroying or something like this. Or have with a special selective way to use it. Each composer played on the same so-called organ, which is called European music. Mm-hmm. And there was once Mozart playing on this organ. The organ was developed, and after Beethoven, he was. It was another organ. It was not only another music. And mm-hmm. Schoenberg is a piano. If I see a piano in a hall in a recital, and I know I shall hear the Wurttemberg piano, the piano looks a little bit different if I would know that they play now Prokofiev and Chopin. It's another animal standing
right.
there.
So yes, yes.
This is a way the composer has to invent another instrument with help or with a certain empty making the other instruments in filling in another way. And so the first thing for that for me, because there was a second one in which I love most, in which I was focusing one aspect, which I call the flautato. Flautato means a pitch is played by the finger not pressing down on a string, but the string is touched.
Lightly touching it.
Yes, mm-hmm. like a sort of quasi-flageolet, but he normally had to put another finger behind to avoid flageolet. We have only the pitch, which is here, and we hear, and then the bow is now so close to the finger that he touches the finger. The hair touches the finger. Mm-hmm. So we hear some likely we hear noise and pitch. This is what I call flautato. And this flautato also is in cantorso, and in the second quartet this was focused. And,
okay.
I made a new cosmos about a flautato until the Bartok pizzicato. Mm-hmm. Bartok pizzicato is not a flautato. But this is a sport. To find now a totally other situation. And now the third thing for that piece was written 7 years ago.
In 2001?
Yes, 7 years ago.
So there's 30 years separating Gran Torso and
well, Gran Torso to the Reigen was 71 to 89, 18 years. Mm-hmm. And now from 89, might be the same, so mm-hmm. 99, 12 or 13 years. Let's try. Now we make how we call it? Random.
Right.
We just open it like this. Try, you cannot make any mistake. It's much better. haven't until here because now I'm a little bit arrived in Canton, so stopped. And maybe one could hear it's a sort of velocity, speed.
Yes.
And it's a moment when the speed is so, it is like frozen. So it's so quick and then it's a sort of a frozen tremolo. And so, but I always have to play here the loud moments of the piece because of this noise.
Yeah, it would get lost in our
But anyway,
air conditioning.
This you see, velocity, even rhythm, consonances, intervals, all this now, and there's very important all the different sort of dynamics, crescendo, for example. What this? Now my repertoire from cantorso is changed. It's not. Well, not changed, it's enlarged, it's opened. And I have no problems also to make sometimes something like this, but this is not more so central as it was in the cantos.
Right, right. Well, we've talked about this before, too. I was mentioning that the Grido was played by Arditi Quartet here, I think, 2 years ago. At a concert at Curtis, and there was a very enthusiastic reaction to this piece.
Yes, because it's virtuoso, it's clear.
Yeah, yeah. it's Arditi too, but I think, and it was an audience which is normally listening to only classical music for the most part, but they seemed to really enter into this piece very well, and I think maybe Gran Torso would have been perhaps more of a challenge for them.
I prefer. it's always so interesting. At the moment it's really nothing in the hall, and it never was disturbed. It's a sort. It's a sort of in real life having a diminuendo going until and then going on a point where the instrument is hardly to be heard.
Yes,
it gets a sort of magic.
Yeah,
and well, magic is nice, but magic again is also a problem. All our music we hear in everyday life is a sort of service of magic. So magic is good, and it has to be found, and it has to be left again.
In other words, you can't. Strive for only this.
Where are the composers here? I would like to discuss this. What is art? We have so full. I look at the program in the Carnegie Hall and so on, and they make all together, and I think it's all entertainment. And even makes the Bach Matthäus Passion, it's entertainment. And it's a magic. People, my daughter, well, you know her, my daughter went to techno. She was totally happy there, and they didn't want to meet me or my or her mother. And she were all were happy there was this industrialito. Fabricated magic, and they were there, and they were all be nice together, and they took something a little bit ecstasy or LSD, and they were there, and they didn't want to go to school. There was no teacher, there was no police, there was no parents. And other people don't go to techno; they go to Bayreuth Festspiel, or they go to Salzburg, and they're like again another sort of magic, or they go in concert, and now. I think all music in all cultures was magic. Music was not made to listen to. It was made to sing together, or to dance together, or to worship, or to evocate the demons of love, or of war, whatever, of nature. And now, in what Mr. Rumsfeld said, in good old Europe, I made something here. The people sit on a seat, and it was old. I don't know when the first concert halls were constructed, in the 18th century only, to sit down and listen to. Because even the Bach chorales, they were not to. But the chorales were not to be listened to. They were to. Like the anthems are not to be listened to. It's a ritual. And Bach made then this harmonization. And people want to fire him because he disturbed the magic. it disturbed the worship, biblical. Oh, what's going on in this music? We know our good old Lutheranian choral, and there's something into it which is totally non-familiar. Mm-hmm. And this moment was the moment in which we began not to just to be there together in an idyll or in a magic, we could listen to what we could call the structure. Maybe not so exactly competent, but there is something working in it. Uh-huh. And this is art. This for me is a difference between entertainment and art. And as long as we are sitting, well, I also do. I make my breakfast and I listen to Christmas Oratorium from Bach.
I'm sorry, you listen to?
Weihnachts Oratorium, that's called. Or Matthäus Passion or whatever, or a symphony from Mahler. Mm-hmm. And I eat my food. It is entertainment. It's a service. And if I sit in my car, I do the same. But it's not done for. It's an offer to sit down and to expose his whole existence of what is going on there. And then it touches us. And then we have a sort of offer, a wonderful way of working with our memory, with our conscious, with our aesthetic intents, and also with our taboos, maybe, which are touched or which are even disturbed. Mm-hmm. And this is an adventure.
Yeah.
And then it is art. And as long as it is, so we had to defend art because in for the politicians and for the society, it's a sort of entertainment for the final people. And this is a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. It's each concert hall should be a room for adventure, for having something which changes us, not to just to confirm our aesthetic world.
Yeah, our values, quote-unquote.
Open it.
Yeah.
People make bungee jumping, and they make whatever. They make always such risks, and in the concert halls they are so lazy and want to have what they had all this time. Mm-hmm. But the music must be strong enough to really be what they could call provocation, because the idea of provocation also is entertainment. We must find a provocation which is authentic, which is never not repeatable, and though this there's a lot of composers could communicate about. It is a question of material, and it's a question of taking the attentivity on what is in the anatomy of the sound and of the movement and all the things. Here to be active and to be moved. This is the only reason why art still may survive, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's too late. It's all entertainment.
Well, that's, this is your biggest concern, or one of your biggest concerns, right?
I don't know concern, but I think the only reason why music is a factor, industrial factor, is because it's entertainment. Until Baroque music, or there come people that, oh, well, Helmut, play a little bit music from Bach. I love Bach. It's so wonderful. What do you want to hear? I'll take a... Oh, this concert, Brandenburg, yeah, Brandenburg concert. Which one? Number 7. No, no, it exists only 6. So, and then they play something and it, oh, I like it, it's wonderful, oh, it's great. Whatever, fabulous, exciting. And then they, oh, sorry, it was wonderful, but now I have to go. It was a nice entertainment to sit down and to feel what happened, how the spirit was. Having an adventure, I a little bit insist on this idea of adventure, because it's the only way to make curious people for new music. Mm-hmm. Not to say it's also nice music, it's also beautiful. No, it's not also beautiful. It's another sort of maybe not more beautiful, and therefore beautiful. Mm-hmm. Because the beautiness is also another cheap magic. Mm-hmm. And this... I think composers should, they are all hidden. Teaching in Harvard, and they are in the ghetto of Harvard, and I come now to San Diego, there's a ghetto in San Diego. Sometimes I make a little bit ghetto visits from one to the other. But the music of Bach was, the society was touched or indifferent or disturbed, whatever. It's difficult to find a way, because maybe here in the United States it's another social situation than in my country, where the tradition We have a lot of orchestras, we have a lot of possible rehearsals, there's Donaueschingen, there's such other centers in which people don't go there to feel nice music. They want to go there to understand what music, what possibility of music could still be.
Actually, on that note, I think we actually have to stop now, unfortunately, because otherwise we won't have enough time for what's coming next. So,
my mission now, message I had now given.
Yes. Okay.
Think about music. This is.
Just quickly, if anyone had a question they wanted to ask now. Otherwise, after the concert, if you're there, there should be some time to talk with Helmut also. So, any.
This was
quick
invitation and preventing question at the same time. If you really want. No, a question is difficult to do. But maybe there's something to say to this point, because you should. Yes.
Yeah. I have a question that's not. It's not brief.
Okay. No.
Well, maybe then.
I'm curious. Now you ask again.
It shouldn't be terribly long. I'd just like to return to your idea of musique concrète instrumentale.
Yes.
And sort of go deeper into that and what it means to you. Because my understanding of how Pierre Schaeffer used the term, it meant more than just the material that one used, but it had also to do with the process of composition.
Yes.
And it was opposed to what Schaeffer called abstract composition, in which one started with notes and structures, and only much later had sound. Mm-hmm. It was the opposite of that. So for him, musique concrète meant beginning with sound, and
going
then,
to abstract.
Then imposing structures upon the sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder to what extent that describes your compositional process. Second part of the question, if you have time to answer it, is to what extent your compositions in the 60s were actually influenced by your hearing the electronic music that was written in that time. I certainly hear infinity, mm-hmm. at the very least, in many of your works of that period.
Yeah.
But were you actually listening to that music actively and absorbing it? Because you seem not to be very fond of the loudspeakers, so I wonder.
Yes. Well, okay. First thing, I would like again to arrive at such a point where this all concrete material again is full of what you call abstract. The word is a little bit too abstract, yes. To a constellation of spirit. It's not more just scratching or other things. It takes part because of some very evident familiarities with other sounds, but also from the time. Therefore, I said all these categories must be transformed. I like to speak about a tenuto, a normal sound, which is not more tremolo, for instance. And now, to make this evident, if our seminar would have taken place, I would have taken, for me, the best example is I hope you remember this piece from Anton Webern, Opus 10, the five piece for orchestra. The fourth, which is the shortest, says, look at this piece, it is totally concrete. You have only one snare drum beat. You have one flageolet harp and one full harp. You have two mandolin, which is dum bum 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 bum, like a melody. Then dum 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 dum. And the mandolin is now a brother from the harp. And the harp mandolin, they are a brother from a celesta, which is not more a plucked one, but it's an impulse, and both are brothers or sisters, whatever, from the snare drum. See, snare drum. So again, it's an abstraction. The snare drum is not more a snare drum like in military music from whatever, or from Ravel's Bolero. It is now, I like this idea of family. It's totally another context. And this again, to make it abstract, whatever. Electronic music, well, from 65, I was 5 months in an electronic studio. I worked with a good old ring modulator, and there was not so digital possibilities. I had to cut and this. And I made a piece which for me was important, but it was on my road. I don't want to.
You withdrew it, you put it away.
Well, it's in the studio from Ghent in Belgium, where it was done there. And I like it, like I like all my things which were full of my work in my intensity. I invested a lot, but I would not present it as my pieces. Mm-hmm. It's an opus minus 52 or so.
Minus three.
Minus, yes. I don't, well, you see, if all these sounds coming from loudspeakers, even here, I don't like it. It's all the same. It's gray and gray and gray. So the whole intensity, the presence of the sound is lost. I liked still, well, what I like is not so important, but I think important is where the first electronic pieces from Stockhausen. Study 1, Study 2, Jünglinge, Kontakte. And then the other pieces are nice, beautiful, idyllic, and sometimes a little bit science fiction, sometimes a little bit, again, romantic. So the best I like are the total abstract, which don't make, because the sounds are all now the membrane of a loudspeaker. I cannot prevent this. And my cello solo piece, now it was in Harvard, there was a concert, I was so happy. It was all electronic music, and it was incredible. Oh. And then came David Russell, the cellist, with his poor cello, and played this. And it was so an intensity in the hall, just because it was an existential feeling of this. So it was not directly coming from the electronic. It might approach to it, because of this mixture. If I make a pressure, there comes incredible spectrums of sounds, which I can also do it in electronic music, but then they are more or less study. I must find the other technique to again make it flexible, and so on. Or the so-called flautato. They are all now sounds which acoustically are more complex. And I hear very often this idea, but sometimes musicians, orchestra musicians, we are too lazy to learn. They say, why don't you take electronic? We have no problems with musicians, but it's castrated.
It's not the same thing anymore.
The air is out. It's not
right.
More.
Right,
more,
something else.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to stop it here now. I hope you can come to the concert. It starts at 8 o'clock. You'll hear Gran Torso and then Grido, the two pieces, the string quartets, and Jack Quartet, really fantastic young group that's already been working with Helmut for a while now and doing a great job. So we're really excited to get to present that music live tonight. So hope to see you there. Thanks.
Thank you.